Invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to focus in on verse 17, and I'm going to read down through verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that he was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. How many here have ever felt that God is mad at you? God must be mad at me. I mean, because the bills aren't being paid. Or maybe I'm sick and I can't explain it. I have this physical problem, or my family has been taken from me. And there's any number of reasons that we may feel that God is mad at us. But there's a passage that says this: our faith is gonna be tested. But the testing that God brings into our life is not because He's mad at us. Quite the contrary. He says that the testing that He brings into our life is more precious than any physical commodity that we have on this planet. It's more precious than silver or gold. It's more precious to us than anything else, any material possession. Because it, watch this, it strengthens our faith, our ability to trust the living God. It strengthens our capacity to trust Him. We trust Him and we find Him to be faithful. And He brings the tests. And we live through the tests. And then we trust Him more and we trust Him more. And He keeps bringing the pressure to build up our spiritual muscles, to bring us to maturity so that we can become productive for Him spiritually. That's what it's all about. So with that in mind, let's look into this text in Hebrews today. But before we do, let's bow together for prayer. Father, I love You because You first loved us. And You just didn't tell us You loved us from a distance, but You demonstrated Your love. You actually placed Your love on display. You took up on flesh. And You came into this world and You walked among Your creation. And then You did something amazing. You went to the cross of Calvary. And there You died. You died in our place. You took our sin in Your own body and You paid the sin debt that we owed to You. You became our sin substitute. Now that, dear Father, is magnificent love. Love that we can't even begin to comprehend. We can never get to the bottom of it. What magnificent love expressed in Jesus Christ. And Father, You are teaching us the gospel so that we can take that good news to the ends of the earth, so that people can hear about Jesus Christ and understand the gospel and come to faith in Him. And Father, teach us today about why You test us. The testing is not designed to wreck us, but to strengthen our faith. May we understand it from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11, look in verse 17. Now remember, keep in mind the context. What we're seeing here is not the faith of these people. We're seeing here their work of faith. That is, what their faith actually produced in them. They all did something with their faith. Now, all of them had trusted the living God. That's right, they had. But then God brought them to a point to perform a work for His glory. And if you're if you're seated here and you're a child of the living God, meaning you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you've been regenerated, you've been born again, you belong to Him, then God is in you going to perform a work of faith. You can count on it. Now, we don't know what it is. We don't know where it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but it will be for His glory. He's going to use you for His glory. You can just count on that. He's going to be magnified. Jesus Christ is going to be magnified in you in some capacity. You have a work to fulfill, and God's going to bring that about. He's going to make it happen. You say, well, I have weak faith. Doesn't make any difference. God's going to bring about that work of faith. If you belong to Him, it's going to happen. So that's what we're reading here, is about these, the works that God has is performing in the lives of these people that demonstrate the fact that they have indeed believed in the living God. That's what it's all about. So we come to verse 17. By faith, here it is, Abraham, when he was tested. See that little word tested there? You need to circle that if you have a pen or a pencil or a marker. It's the Greek word pirazo. Pirazo means, listen to this, to test in order to prove. It's genuineness. To test in order to approve. That happens out at Platt Chemical. They run off all these chemicals. They put all these ingredients in these chemicals. Then they take a test, little portion, to the lab to have it tested, to make sure that it contains what they want it to contain, that it's the genuine article. So they test it in order to approve it before it's shipped out of there to market. That's what this word means. To test in order to approve. And that's why God brings those tests into our life. Now watch what happened to Abraham. It says, he was tested, pirazo, offered up Isaac. Here's his test. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now look in verse 18. This is important. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now that's a promise. Don't miss it. God told Abraham, God who cannot lie, told Abraham, Abraham, in Isaac, this son that I promised you, this son that you and Sarah are going to have, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, Isaac is going to have a son, and Isaac's son is going to have a son, and it's going to continue until there are literally thousands upon thousands of people. You can't ever even number them coming through Isaac. That's the promise. Now look in verse 19. Concluding, here it is, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Look back in Genesis chapter 21 and look in verse 12. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And then he did something incredible. It's as though he stepped back out of the picture, that is, God stepped out of the picture, and he did nothing. He just waited. So here's Abraham and Sarah, they're excited, they're going to be parents. God's going to give them a son, but no son. No child. And they tried, no child. Sarah was barren. And not only that, years went by. And Abraham was getting older and older and older. And Sarah was still barren. No child. Now God, during that process, He wasn't silent. He was teaching Abraham about His faithfulness. He was bringing little tests into Abraham's life, little pirazos into his life. And he would bring a test in, Abraham, I'll supply your needs. You don't need to go to Egypt when the famines come. I will meet your needs. And Abraham, you can pick up this little band of soldiers and your family and go after one of the most horrible armies on the planet, and you'll defeat them because I'm with you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs. You can trust me, Abraham. But God brought into his life those tests. And those tests began, watch this, to strengthen his faith. Now, there was a time when he was weak. And he listened to his wife. And she said, you know, we're old, Abraham. You're not going to be a daddy. We need to make it happen some other way. We'll go to Hagar, my handmaid, and we'll raise up a seed through her, and he'll become the promised heir. And God said, no, that's not the way it should be. Look in verse 12. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. This is what I want you to see. Look in the last part of verse 12. For in Isaac, do you see that? In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That's what Abraham heard. That's what God welded into his mind. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is all the myriads of people that are going to come from you. The promise that I've given you, Abraham, is going to come through this one child, Isaac. But here he comes. When God was ready, miracle of miracles, Abraham's long past the age of producing a child. Sarah has been barren for years. But then, miraculously, they had a child. They had a son. God performed a miracle and gave them a little boy. And they called him Isaac, Yitzhak, laughter. Because Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to have a child. And Abraham laughed when he heard that he was going to have a child from the lips of God himself, but he laughed. So they called him laughter. Here he is. Isaac is in the world. Now, can you imagine what it was like for that son being born into that family? What a blessing. No child could have been loved and appreciated and valued more than Isaac. I'm sure Sarah would just follow him around, you know, when he was a little toddler, not wanting him to fall or scratch his knee. I mean, that was her son. And old Abraham was, boy, he looked, I'm a daddy. I'm 100 years old and I'm a father. And boy, they loved that little boy. But something amazing had happened in the life of that great patriarch. Listen to me. He had learned, watch this, to trust the living God. What a lesson. God taught me faith. He taught me to trust Him. How did He teach him? Through testing. He brought the tests in. It scared me. The money wasn't there. The sickness was there. I could find no cure for it. I don't know what was going on. Maybe I heard those scorching words from the doctor. It looks like a malignancy. And it scared me to death. And the bills are piling up and I find no way to pay the bills. And I see all the signs of the time around me, the government's crumbling and the things that I loved and cherished and held dear, they're falling apart every way I turn. And you say, God, where are you? But He's bringing those tests into our life to what? Strengthen our faith. God guides us through that maze of tests. And we grow stronger. We grow more and more to trust Him. We trust Him in the dark and God brings the money and He brings the times that we're well and the times of blessing, the times of the mountaintops, and we learn to trust Him and be patient and grow to lean on Him. And we, listen, our spiritual muscles become strong. We become strong in faith. Hold your place in Genesis where you are and flip back to 1 Corinthians just briefly. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 13. This is a promise from the lips of God. I want you to hear it. Now, Paul is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is God's word. This is what it said. No temptation. Now, this word temptation is the Greek word pirazo. It does not mean tempted to do evil. God cannot, James says, tempt us to do evil. This is the word testing. It's that same word. There is no, really it should be translated trial. No trial, no temptation, no pirazo, no testing has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now notice this, but God is faithful. Who's faithful? God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is, he's bringing into our life those testings to strengthen our faith, but he never tests us to the breaking point. He never crushes us. He never wipes us out. This is not a thing of discipline. It's a thing of testing. And he always provides that way to get through it. Now, there may be tears, but he provides the way to get through it. And sometimes, for a saint who is dying, maybe with a terminal disease, at the point of demand, God gives grace, and he gives dying grace, and he gets them through it. He makes heaven so real to them that they want to be there. They want to leave here and be there. That is, he always gives that way to handle the tests. He never just leaves us hanging out there with no way out. He always gives us that way. So we're able to bear the test, the load. We're able to get through it. I look in chapter 22 of Genesis. This is what happened. God realized that Abraham was now ready. He was ready. Why was he ready? Because God had brought test after test after test, pirazo, into his life, and he always found God to be faithful. God is faithful. So he began to trust God. He began to believe in him. I mean, really, really trust him. So he was now ready for the supreme test. He was ready now. Listen to me very carefully. He was ready to perform his work of faith. That we, those of us today, read about this and we say, amazing. What a miracle. This is phenomenal. We read about Abraham's great test. And no one was ever tested like him. Because here's what God did. Now look in chapter 22. Look at this. Look in verse 1 of chapter 22 of Genesis. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Now here's the conversation. God is saying, Abraham. And Abraham says, yo, that's me. I'm here. Look at verse 2. Then he said, now watch this, take now your son, your only son Isaac. Now notice he said, whom you what? Love. And go to a land of Moriah. Now here comes the kicker. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And we're thinking, hold it. You mean after all that Abraham and Sarah has gone through and then God actually performed that miracle, he gave him that supernaturally born child, now he's saying to Abraham, kill him? You know what my mind shouts? God, who do you think you are? He knows who he is. And he also knows Abraham's faith. He has prepared him for this time. He has built up his spiritual muscles. He knows that Abraham is now focused on him. He has his eyes on the Creator. He has his eyes on the one who gave him the blessing of Isaac. He had taken his eyes off of Isaac, the blessing, and placed it on the one who gave him the blessing. So he's now focused on the Creator. Is that strong faith or what? That's why God brings the tests into our life, to get our eyes off of what's going on around us, off all the pressure, the problems, the difficulties, the family issues, and place them squarely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Get our eyes on Him, concentrate on Him, look to Him, and realize there's a reason I'm going through all this, to strengthen my faith. God, You're not mad at me. You love me. You love me with a love that's far beyond anything that I can comprehend. You love me. And You're bringing all this into my life for a purpose. And the purpose is so I can focus on You. And that's right where Abraham was. In his mind were these words. Listen to me carefully. In Isaac shall your seed be what? Be called. To Abraham, God's promise said, Isaac is going to have a what? A son. To perpetuate my seed. To raise up this people that when you look into heavens and you, if you could count the stars, you could count them, but you can't count them. They had to come through this one little boy named what? Isaac. But now God says, kill him. What do you do? I tell you what Abraham did. Watch. Look at this. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God told him. Listen, there's no pressure. He wasn't struggling with God. God, are You sure? God, what are You doing? He had learned to trust Him. In the dark, though he did not understand, he could not comprehend, what was in his mind is the truth. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. I'm sure he thought, you know, God created me. If I take Isaac's life, can He raise him up? Shake your head. Can He raise him up? Yeah. That's exactly the point. Watch. Here we go. Look in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Now, are you looking at verse 5? The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Now, notice what he says. And we, does your verse say that? And we will come back where? To you. I want to say, Abraham, did we miss something here? Did we miss something? Don't you know what God said? You're going to take him up on that altar and you're going to what? You're going to kill him. So how can you say, we are going to come back? How does he say it? Because he trusted God. That's how he can say it. That's why he said it. Now his faith was resting totally, completely in the one who created him, the one who had given him the promise in the first place. He was strong in faith. This was graduation day for him. He was going to pass the ultimate test of all of history. And this is exactly what he did. Let's look at it. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Look at verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now here's what's going on. This teenage boy is saying, Daddy, you're going to make an offering. Where's the lamb? Now, you know what? I'm a daddy. Hey, I'm a granddaddy. And I love my children. I love my children so much, I would give my life for them in a heartbeat. No questions. I would do it. I don't even have to negotiate that in my thoughts. I would give my life for them. That's how much I love them. So I'm thinking like a daddy here, and here's my son who I know God has instructed me to kill him, to take his life, saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Now that would crush me. What about you? I mean, I would have broken down right there and said, son, let's go to the house. This is too much. This is overwhelming. I can't take it. not Abraham. He had learned. He had learned. Wait a minute now. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. Watch. Here we go. He goes on. He goes on. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I love that. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham, here's verse 10, stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, this is an amazing passage because here the Hebrew shouts to us. It's in a Hebrew completed action. That is, in Abraham's mind, he what? He actually what? Plunged the knife into his child. He fully intended to do it. Only God knew that. That's why he put it here in the Hebrew completed action. It is as though he had done it. So in his mind, he killed him. That's the point. Ah! But God had an alternate plan. Just as he raised his knife to plunge it into the body of his son, notice what happened. Look at verse 11. But, boy, that's a tremendous contrast, isn't it? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, literally, Avraham, Avraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then we know the rest of the story about the goat caught in the bushes there, the ram. In verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. So Abraham took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Then Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. The point of the passage is this. Abraham is here through Isaac picturing for us in the Old Testament resurrection. The resurrected son. Because both of them did come down off of that mountain that day, father and son together. And in Abraham's mind, that son had been resurrected, because he fully intended to kill him. But he trusted God so much because God had said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Isaac can't die. If I kill him, God's going to raise him up, because in Isaac, your seed shall be called. God's a God of His Word. I trust you. But it pictures for us, hundreds of years in advance, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God is shouting to us here is, one day I'm going to offer my son on Calvary's cross, on a hill called Golgotha, and there will be no one to shout to me and hold my hand back. I will kill him. I will take his life, but I'm also going to raise him up again the third day. I hope we see this. I hope it's clear to us. It's a test of faith. Look back in Hebrews. Just simply says, just so simple and understandable. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Look in verse 18. Of whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. Now look in verse 19 carefully. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That is, he received him back from the dead. And he pictured the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God tested his faith. Abraham proved his faith. Pirazo. One other passage and I'm through. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. One of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. Look in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Now look in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various testings, trials, purazo. You have been grieved by various testings. Now look in verse 7. Here's the purpose. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There it is. All in a nutshell. What a picture. Now this doesn't imply that when God brings the tests into your life or into my life, they're going to be something, you know, wonderful. It doesn't imply that we're going to say, oh man, here comes another test. God, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't happen to me that way. Sometimes I cry out, God, what are you doing? But I look back in my life and I see what God is doing. It's amazing. He's brought me to where I am right now. And He's used the test. He's used the testing in a strategic way in my life. And He'll continue to do that to me and to you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the life of Abraham who learned to trust You, even when everything around him seemed to cry out that things were going awry, that things were falling apart, that his life was falling apart. He learned to trust You, the living God. He believed Your promise. He believed Your Word, and he rested his faith upon that. Father, I pray that we, like Abraham, would rest our faith upon the promises of Your Word. That we wouldn't grow weak in faith, but the more the tests come, that You would use the tests to actually strengthen our faith, to build up our ability to trust You in the darkness of our life, in the times of trial, the times of trouble, the times that we see that it appears that You're so far away from us, but You're really right there. And You are the one who meets the needs of our life. You're the one who is taking us to where You want us to be. You have a plan for us. And Father, You will perform in us that work of faith. And that is a promise to us. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.